In the name of the risen Savior, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Happy Easter, all of you. It seemed to them that I will take men disregarding the witness and the story of the women. I will take the story. This week, I've been consumed with this story that has taken over my life in a funny way. I want to talk to you about this morning, the story of crucifixion and resurrection. Our theology on tap with the beast of the Meredith on the bottom of the hill on Tuesday nights has been studying about the early church's worship practices, and on the very first idea of what it was to be body of Christ gathered in the church, we didn't have what we have, this year-long sense of our time, hallowed by the events of Christ's life. We just had Easter. And Easter incorporated everything. There wasn't a Good Friday Easter. Easter was the whole story. The whole story was right in that one event. It was the eighth day, not seven. It was the eighth day. Sabbath was the seventh, but Easter happened on the eighth day. After creation, a new creation. And they treat the crucifixion and resurrection as one thing. And it's been haunting me. And for us, we have this 3-day spirit of the Church of the Holy Spirit, this penetrating, dense, and almost incomparable way in which we gather at work, and then we meal, and then we come in and have the supper at the table here, and it's strictly all you bear, and then it becomes from something luscious and feeding to something stark and starving, and then Good Friday, we waste ourselves and sacrifice for others, largely, as we've done for years and years. This year, different, but more. And then comes the resurrection. Ironical that, you know, I received these text messages from people who were experiencing, who had this church for the first time, how exhausted they are Friday night, in such a good way. So we come with our environment with this great excessive expenditure of our time and efforts to come to the altar on Easter Sunday, tired, because we spend our lives together. So this week, all week long, I just thought I'd begin, you know, with the fire of Paris and thinking about this cathedral, Notre Dame, and how the firemen rush in and take out the artifacts, you know, the relics. And in the medieval church, cathedrals were built more largely around the rock. It inspired them to build the protecting shell around it. And it's true of Chartres, it's true of St. Michel, the third tree of Notre Dame. And so we have this crown of thorns. And there's this cynic called way in which people will think an idle story, you know, just like when you come back from the tomb. It's not even a vine that would have grown in the Middle East, let alone that you could have preserved it, but I thought it's a metaphor. What a powerful symbol it is for us. So when this Easter, I'm talking about the ones, I think, well, maybe the story goes like this, maybe it's not just some medieval charlatan trying to make a lot of this relic. But couldn't go back to that day, that Saturday, the day after the execution. Empty. Quiet. The earth is still. The soldiers have gone on to the next appointment. Not giving another thought about this guy. They drag off the cross, roughly, threw him on the ground. Another burden to be buried back to the cross. What do they care? Joseph of Arimathea. Another disciple ran away. No one was there. Buried Jesus nearby. There was nothing. And then perhaps on this lonely hillside, strewn with a little crowd and mob, the detritus of the brave, the soldiers, the makeshift latrines scattered about, broken pottery shards. It was an old quarry, so it was abandoned because of a fall line of rocks, and so perhaps they just left their instruments and tools behind. You can imagine that quiet afternoon, it was just a lonely girl wandering through find something to work, maybe a slave, probably. You know how poor children do that? Pick through fields to try to find something for themselves. And she comes across this crown of thorns, rough and gnarly vine, and she picks it up and cuts it because it's still dangerous, it's still hard, and she faints. Why would they treat someone so kind like that? And maybe she remembers, maybe it was her, a year before, coming down from Galilee. Jesus speaking to the crowd, trying to explain to us what the kingdom of God is, sees the child in the crowd and goes over to her and picks her up and says, this is the kingdom of God. You must be like this child, look into it. And she takes the crown, and maybe she's able to put the two together. She brings it back to her place where she lives and hides it under her mat. And the next day, strange things happen. The next day, she hears that some women had gone to the tomb and found it empty and encountered the risen Christ. Stranger yet, all the disciples met him somewhere else on the road, to Emmaus. They came back and reported they had seen him risen from the dead. Stranger still, those who had never met had had an encounter with the Holy One of God. And they too said that he was risen from the dead. And you can imagine her hearing the stories and looking at that crown and pulling it back all around. And understanding, as a slave would, what real power is. Not the power of Caesar, not the power of war, not the power of those who own her, but the power of the one to whom the oppressive forces of the world would never own. And what freedom was, and what dignity was, and what worship was. I can imagine her holding on to that crown, knowing what it meant. We're so few that ever understand. I can imagine her growing up, giving birth to more slave children. And when they were old enough to show them the crown, to tell them what it meant. And for them to have their own encounter of the Holy One of God, on their own, with Jesus who would come to everyone. And they would hold on to the crown and tell their children. And they would tell their children. And here I am telling you. And the glory of this in this resurrection point is that Jesus has come to hold us. To embrace us, put his arms around us, and hold us up and say, here's the kingdom of God. Can we be that child again? I don't care how old we are or young we are. I don't care what abilities we have or don't. I don't care what successes in the world we may have accomplished. I don't care if we get dressed up with honorific vestments or just come in jeans and sneakers. Who cares? Because if you understand the ground, and you understand the resurrection of Christ, and you understand the kingdom of God, then what only counts is the dignity and worth of every human being. Do you feel Christ embracing you and holding you up and saying, you are the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? What is keeping you from that embrace? Are you brave enough to hold the ground, to risk getting pierced by it? I have seen anyone. All of us come here, not proud or wounded. What? He's saying we have died and was in the grave of Christ. And so we are alive to him. He's dead and they're alive. Christ was crucified and is alive today. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. He's risen in your life. I know He is. Let us be lifted up. I'm telling you the story. Who are you going to tell?